Fantastic. A little change of venue this morning. Phil and I were talking yesterday. There was a little bit of a challenge, and so I'm going to pick up the relay here from Phil. And but don't worry, Phil will be back to lead you in chronological and date-intensive studies. He's very good at that, and knowing what, where, and when, and how, and the dates of occurrence very well. All right, let's go ahead and start off with a prayer here. Father, we stand before you this day with a desire to understand in full your message and to have it sealed firmly within our hearts and minds. We do ask that you grant us the wisdom to utilize the knowledge before us in the way that best creates an outcome that you would desire for us. In Christ's name, amen. Today is February 16th, 2025. And the title for today's study is Faith in the Unseen. There's a lot of things that go unseen, but we are aware of. And easiest one right now is just to say that we know that air is there. We don't see it, but we see what is affected by the movement of air. We see the wind rustling leaves. We see the wind blowing trees. We feel the wind and the breeze on our faces. And when it's really windy, it messes up our hair. So we have faith in an unseen God. We have hope that is compassed about by faith, that His word will hold. We see miracles around us every day, and that is the wonder of creation. Here's a quote from Corrie ten Boom. She lived from 1882 to 1983 and also harbored Jews during World War II. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Very poignant. Very good. So, let's start in Psalms 19. We're going to go Psalms 19, 1 through 8. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. All around us, the wonders of the world are apparent, and they speak of a grand design. We see the sky, we see the stars, we see the earthly wonders, yet they do not speak to us with words that we can hear. This does not lessen their grandeur, nor does it negate the truth of creation. They do not speak to us of their origin or their purpose, but the message of creation is in their magnificence. Evolutionists in part their man-made words for explanation as the origin of all things. Creationists will quote the words of God as to the explanation for the origin of all things. There's a big difference there. Okay, we'll jump to Psalms 23, 1 through 6. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Through the measures of all that surround us, that was created by God, we discover a place where we exist as part of His creation with reverence, supplication, and faith. For all that is came before, and man was the last addition to creation. It is no small wonder that we have particular characteristics and attributes that are unequaled in any other living creature. It does speak more of a particular plan and design rather than relying on happenstance. And now, Tony, thank you very much for assisting, and we'll go to Psalms 33, 6 through 9. Psalms 33, 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth hear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And now we'll go to Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. We are purposed in the Lord, and He alone knows to that which we may attain a quelling of our iniquities through our faith. Albeit, Psalms is Old Testament and therefore not post Acts 28:28. The greater measure of understanding those things that are known of us by God are conveyed through biblical scripture. There is a common thread that you can derive from all of these words and all of this information that God presents to us. Says So now we will go to Job chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 7, 8, and 7 through 10. Verses 7 through 10. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Who knoweth not in all, and in all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Most people usually do not consider the idea of creation having an awareness, but let's say that it does. Creation would know mankind, and therefore the answers in creation would be there from which wisdom could be gleaned. Imagine every living creature having a sense of the Lord. So now let's jump to Job chapter 38, and we'll read verses 1 through 7. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job is being taught here where his place is in creation, where our place is in creation. Again, this is not an understanding through the words of man espousing evolution. Rather, it is the word of God indicating where we stand, and that nothing that is was not made by Him. And we can do a little comparison. Reads in, we'll go to Job 40, and we'll read 3, 4, and 5. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. And in Job 42, chapter 42, we will read 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now there is a statement that definitely concludes the finding or the understanding of where your place is in God's creation, in God's design, in God's love. We go to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read 18, 19, and 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even this eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Again, the circumstance in which we are found speaks of a full awareness of God's creation. There are no ramifications for ungodliness in evolution. However wonderful that may sound to some people, there is also no hope in evolution of any everlasting consequence. Sure, you can be a non-believer or atheist and say, I hope I win the lottery, or I hope it doesn't rain on my picnic this weekend. But without faith, these are empty hopes, tantamount to a crapshoot. You roll the dice and you take what you get. Now we'll go to Colossians chapter 1. 15 through 18. Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 18. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Again, I say, these are not man-made words derived from a supposed understanding of everything occurring as a matter of evolution. Colossians 1:15 does not say that you should be able to see God because Christ is the image of the invisible God. Rather, it speaks of Christ being a representative, such as, many of you have seen me, but none of you can see my Father. That is just an analogy, folks. Don't get excited. As my wife says, I cannot walk on water. And let us go to Acts 17. And we'll read verses 22 through 25. Acts 17, 22 through 25. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by, and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Wow. It is almost as if some of these individuals heard Paul's words, but were hedging their bets and giving credit where credit was not due for all creation. Such as, I will drop a quarter in each one of the buckets in front of each one of the gods. One of them has to be real, right? And we will jump to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 16 through 18. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 16 through 18. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, This is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocations. And here's definitely an example of where man needed to have a tangible effigy in order to substantiate their belief. In that an unseen God and needed to be seen in order to be believed, I find it interesting that in evolution, where so many things go unseen, there is such a fervent belief. I believe a lot of the times when people don't want to believe, it is because they don't want to be obligated, feel it is too encumbering, and they don't have time. Turn in a blind eye in light of all the evidence that surrounds us is a sad affair. The evidence of a grand design by God is all around us and is more explained by somebody creating rather than bang! Everything came about and evolved haphazardly. People that do not rightly divide inherently do not understand Scripture, and those factions of religion that do not rightly divide usually are neglecting so because rightly dividing would be in conflict with the presiding powers in their religion. We may study together and we may read from the same Bible together. As a group, we may be like-minded and have the same faith, but what it ultimately comes down to is that our faith, our belief is singular, and that you have this faith in God for yourself, and it is something that cannot be conveyed nor bequeathed beyond yourself. No matter how much you would wish that to be in order to save someone, that is not your charge. Your charge is to have your faith in God, as is everyone else that should have the same faith. Like I said, we're like-minded. But in the end, it is about me and my faith in God. I cannot stand up for your faith in God come the end. This was a very short one, and we'll end with a prayer here, folks. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here on Sunday. And I hope the rest of your day goes well. Lord, we thank you for this day and the blessings of being able to hear and be in your word. We are thankful for and in awe of your creation. Be with all of us that might need your attention to physical ailments, mental anxiety, or just a simple bolstering of confidence. This day we give thanks to you, Lord, and pray for another day.